Tamapotaka with us. Hey, tamate nā koe.
Kia ora, mate. I think it's the blue room, not the green room.
Fair enough. Good start. What's up with the Kiwis, mate?
The Kiwis, oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic efforts around the country, whether or not it's Whakatane, Ōtorohonga, Sanctuary Mountain Maunga Totori, or Rotokare down in Taranaki. And down south, there's a huge effort to bring our environment closer, for us to get closer to the environment too. And we welcomed 7 Kiwi, first time ever in the parliamentary precinct last night. They will be rehomed, relocated to Cape Te Rawhiti and out on the west side of Wellington out by Marketa, where Capital Kiwi has introduced 250 Kiwi over the last 10 years to this area.
What, did they have the birds in the parliament?
In the whare, mate. In the whare. The speaker, the big man on campus, Jerry Brownlee, permitted the Kiwi to be brought in, 7 of them, to be welcomed in by a crowd of about 300-400 people, including a lot of tamariki and rangatahi, and to be feted and celebrated.
Well, I can't say.
Sorry, Dale, I didn't see laser Kiwi there, though.
No, but having 7 Kiwi would have been a bit of, well, that's different. I can't imagine any parliament in the world that would have these iconic manu.
No, but
welcomed.
You know, we have some of the most amazing bird life and tail in the world, and these are the things that make us distinct. They're our endowments, Dale. We had conservation week last week, but to be fair, it's Kaitiaki Tangan week every week.
Well, that's interesting. So they're just released into the wild. How do we sort of protect them?
Yeah, they get brought up and raised in places like Maunga Totori, Koroki, Kahukura, Ngāti Hauā, and Rotokare down in Ngāti Tupaia, Ngāti Ruanui, and then they get rehomed in places like Motutapu, like Wellington, like other places.
Interesting stuff. What about ventilation shafts on paper roads? I had a chat yesterday with Catherine Delahunty, concerned about what's going on at the in behind Whangamata. Any updates from your end?
No, I'm not aware and not across that issue. Certainly a new one to me, Dale, so maybe I'll need to seek some advice around that.
It's okay, she's from the Coromandel Watchdog. Friday is May Day and Workers' Rights Day. There will be activations from the Council of Trade Union, etc., marches and parades throughout the country. What would you say of the importance here of acknowledging workers' rights at a time when, sadly, we're seeing the inevitability of layoffs and public service loss of jobs? Where do you sit with May Day and workers' rights? And how's the government addressing the gap between the minimum wage and what workers need to live with dignity?
Well, this government wants to deliver real support through targeted cost of living measures, things like tax relief and childcare support and assistance with energy costs. And our focus, Dale, was around easing the cost of living pressures so work pays and households can get ahead. That's what we believe in. And doing that involves ensuring that we've got a stronger economy. Look, if we weren't in a good position around managing fiscal prudence and fiscal responsibility over the last couple of months, we would have been in a very difficult space. But for the last couple of years, that's what the Minister of Finance has done. We've been in a better place to sustain some of the fuel pressures, but they are real, Dale. People are really suffering with some of the fuel pressures that are upon us from the war in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, and also some of the quite confronting costs around energy, housing and food. It's great to see people working together to address those costs, but they are real. People are concerned, and our role is to essentially strengthen the economy, make it more resilient, and to help generate the conditions for people to take risk and employ people.
As the Minister of Māori Development, have you recently had any discussions with the representatives of the Council of Trade Unions, bearing in mind they'll be front and centre with the actions planned for Friday?
No, the Council of Trade Unions, from my understanding, have never approached me for a meeting either, never talked with me, never rung me, but I know that they raise a lot of concerns about the state of play for workers. And I am genuinely concerned also by the number of Māori, especially young Māori, that are out of a job or underemployed. There are jobs out there. There are job opportunities, but not always in the right place or with the right match around skill sets. So we've got to work a bit hard on that, and that's why I support what Minister Stanford's trying to do in education, trying to get kids to school and better achievement so they're prepared to either become business people or to become kaimahi.
There is talk of a prosecution in the pipeline for truancy. Is this appropriate?
Well, that's the direction of travel that the government's in, but the direction of travel that I'm also in is making sure we support our whānau to get our kids to school, whether or not that's in line with what we've done with the worker tax credit, with the fuel pressures upon us, or making sure that we support kids to get to school. Like, you know, when we arrived, the Māori school attendance rate was about 33%, Dale, and when a third of your kids in your country, the babies being born are Māori, and only a third of Māori kids go to school regularly, that's a real problem in the short, medium, and long term for our own whānau, let alone for the country. So we've got to make sure that we support kids to get to school, we support their achievement. I know of some schools like Hamilton Boys High in Hamilton, where that attendance rate has gone up over the last couple of years, and acknowledged principals and teachers and whānau around the country who are doing their utmost to get their kids to school regularly.
Yeah, I understand that too, but why the disconnect? Why do you think that these attendance records are so low? It's one thing to blame whānau, but it also could be the structure, the school system that's not appropriate for many rangatahi. How ho whakaro?
I think there's a lot of challenges and variable across different places. Like, I've gone to places like Opotiki College, where a couple of years ago they had a training program for about 20 kids to build houses. It was linked in with some of the whakatohia house building aspirations and home building aspirations, and 20 kids went to school essentially to build houses. Now, there are programs out there that have done very well in engaging kids to get to school and being attractive and appealing to kids. And it's not always just straight down the middle in-class learning. Some of it's more out-of-class or some different types of learning. I've also seen some of the problems, particularly in Hamilton West, where you have huge amounts of kids living in motels and hotels. I think there were 756 when I arrived in Parliament. And that has its own impacts on kids getting to school. So there's a range of variability across the country around why kids go to school or don't go to school. And we've got to find what works and support what works. Sometimes that's using culture as a method to get kids to school. Sometimes it's using other methods. And it's an ongoing challenge. It's not as if, Dale, when you and I went to school, every child was at school all of the time. That's not what it was like. Of course, I had probably a slightly different experience. I was at boarding school, so you couldn't really go anywhere else except the school or sick bay or chapel. No, the only options.
Tēnā koe, Tama is a former student from, which school were you at? You and Julia?
Tauti College.
At Tauti. Thank you. I had a kōrero earlier in the program, Tama, with a public health expert out of Otago University, looking at the fuel crisis and its impact on wider health in New Zealand. And quite obviously, those who are already doing it toughest are copping it more than most with rising fuel costs and the like. What's your thinking about the impact of the fuel situation for whānau Māori?
It's not good. When you have diesel up at $3.60 or $3.80, and 91 even at $3.30, $3.40, that puts huge pressures on whānau. And a lot of the price rises are out of our control, as the government aware of New Zealand, but the government has taken steps to make sure we've got a plan. There are phases to the plan. The Prime Minister and Minister Willis, Minister Jones are very active in ensuring that we've got resilient and credible fuel supply. And I think what we didn't know, Dale, as a country, is that there was just-in-time fuel supply for countries like New Zealand over time, but Prime Minister's working very diligently and professionally to make sure that we've got a plan that we execute on, and there was an announcement yesterday in that regard.
Yeah, but working people got some sort of boost, if I recall, a few weeks
ago. Work income tax credit.
But people who aren't working still just have to suck the kumara, don't they?
Well, you know, we're really focused on making sure we've got timely, targeted and transparent support happening, and it's not just a cash bazooka. You would have heard that in the parliamentary debates, Dale. And I think that there's some real pain at the pump amongst different whānau, and the fuel response team, which is led by Minister Willis, continue to assess how we can better support people. Now, some of that's around mileage rates. You would have heard about that. And mileage rate support, especially for those that are working in the health space to get around and do the jobs that they need to do to keep New Zealanders healthy.
Tēnā koe. And just finally, had a kōrero yesterday with a representative from the World Wildlife Fund, and it was to do with the marine mammal deaths, effectively, in marine reserves, now at about 150, and some of our iconic species, sadly, lost as predominantly trawling, netting on the borders, I guess, of these marine reserves. What immediate steps would you take in response to the 150 marine mammal deaths inside sanctuaries, and how would your new biodiversity plan strengthen protections in these areas?
Well, I understand that of those deaths, about 70 bycatch deaths were reported in those sanctuaries, bycatch from fishing. And most of those, 60 of the 67 cases, were around non-threatened species. Now, the death of a Maui or Hector dolphin in particular is very concerning because of their numbers. But there is a layered protection system within mammal sanctuaries and targeted fishing restrictions, as well as a national bycatch reduction framework that are working together to protect marine life. These things sometimes happen, Dale. We don't want them to happen, but they sometimes happen. We've got to make sure we've got the right regulatory framework, whether or not it's sticks and carrots, to make sure that those that are working in the industry are careful, but also recreational and other fishers are careful too in the work and the mahi that they do. So is it perfect? No. Do we have a system? Yes. Could it be refined and improved? Absolutely. There's actually a big petition arriving in Parliament today, Dale, from Live Ocean, John O'Ridler, swimming from the Cape to the Capital, and looking forward to welcome that in, but also to contextualise it, that the call for discontinuing trawling in seamounts that are over 100 metres is an important clarion call from Jono and the Live Ocean team. And on the other side, of course, we have a range of other interests, for example, the significant collective commercial interests of the Māori fisheries businesses. So, range of issues. We've got to work harder, particularly around those species that are very threatened.
It's good talking with you again. Thanks very much for your thoughts this week. Have a good week. We'll talk again soon. Ngā mihi.
Te pai tō rā.
Tēnā koe.